for the things that are against us. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, Most High. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I welcome every one of you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. You know, you win a lot of victories knowing God's good. Amen. Stand in the understanding that God is good. He's good. He's good. Tell someone beside you He's good. Tell someone across from you He's good. Shout it to the other side of the church. He's good. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to carry on as they go to their classes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me see where I wanted to go. All right, right here. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we've been talking about the importance of presence. Sometimes people misunderstand it, that they think that, well, God's always with me. Don't ever take that for granted, because God is with you. The Bible says that nothing will separate me from God. But I want you to understand, the Bible does say that I seek first the kingdom of God. We understand that we seek His presence, that we seek Him, that we seek His strength, that I become overcome by Him. Sometimes what happens is we become overcome by other things. We become overcome by the world and the system and the chaos. Come on, amen. Things that are on the outside sometimes affects us on the inside. But I want you to feel, I feel like God is really drawing us into a place of intimacy, a place of being overcome by Him, being overwhelmed by Him. I'm tired of sometimes seeing people being overwhelmed, and even myself in situations, but I need to know that in His presence is fullness of joy. Come on, amen. In His presence is fullness of God, of joy. And we can relate and understand that in my chaos, in my life, that sometimes we place the category wrong, that we don't visit Him. He might be in the house, but I might be in another room. Come on, I'm going to say it again. He might be in another room, but I'm on this side and He's on that side. I don't know about you. Come on, sometimes couples are like that. That's not why my wife's not here. Yeah. But sometimes we're that way, amen? But sometimes we don't prioritize. Sometimes we don't place Him where He deserves to be placed. And I want you to realize that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to hear this. He that believeth in Him, I want you to know that's continual. Believeth in Him. Not just believe, but believeth in Him. They will have everlasting life. They won't perish. I want you to know that sometimes, unfortunately, I see people in the midst of situation perishing. But I know that I can see that the Word of God tells me something, that they that abide in the vine, hallelujah, they that abide, they that make it their habitation, their place, that an awareness, come on, I just want us to get this, an awareness of who God is and what He does. That awareness of God, that is finding yourself before Him. Being aware of God. Encouraging yourself. David showed us that he encouraged himself before the Lord. That he sought the presence of God. That, God, I don't want to move without You, God. That I don't want to go without You, God. I need Your presence with me. I need the awareness of God to be upon my life in the midst of my situation. And I feel that in my heart. I feel this longing and desire for us to realize what the importance is. And I know we understand it, we say it, and we take it for granted sometimes that I'm in God's presence. But I want you to know that we get caught up with everything sometimes. That sometimes they pull us away. Sometimes they gain our attention. There's a lot of ambulances out there and we get distracted. Sirens. Fires. And different things that are out there to kind of pull our attention away. From our first love. He gave His Son that we would have a place with Him. He gave us a doorway that we could come back into the presence. But I want you to understand something. He died for me that I could come in, that I was able to come in through Christ. I was able to find my way back in to the presence of God but not just to visit, but stay there. I want you to know that on our journey, we're beginning to learn how to stay in the presence of God. All through the Bible, He tells us to abide. Stay within my presence. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. It's in the waiting. It's in the presence. It's in that place that God does things, where God moves and miracles exist, that we stay there. I want you to see that we can look through the Bible and see that Jesus, while He walked on this earth, that He was in this world but not of this world, that He was connected, that He was in the presence of God. Amen. That He was in that awareness that He walked with God, that He walked in that place. But sometimes we get confused and get distracted. Come on, how many of you have been distracted? Come on. So let's look at 1 Peter. I might say a couple things that I've said recently, but I think it's important that we take hold of this. This is in 1 Peter 1:3, and it said, "Blessed be the God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He said that we can obtain, that we can possess, that He's given us abundance. He said that He restores it again to us, that He's begotten us again to restore this lively hope, this alive, this agape, this reality that we have, this relationship with God, that we can abide in His presence, that we're no longer separated. Come on, amen. That we're no longer separated by a divide of what sin has done, but now we could come into boldly into the presence of God. Great in His mercy. Amen. From the moment that we betrayed God in the Garden of Eden, from that moment on, God was calling and desiring for us to come back into His presence. Do you understand something? I want you to realize that you were created to dwell in God's presence. We were created to have abundant life. Anything outside of that is not of God. I want you to realize this. We go through tribulations, but the tribulation can't stay within me. Come on, amen. There's peace within me. There's hope within me. We go through things in our lives. I want you to realize that. But I want you to know that in the midst of that thing, in His presence, is fullness of joy. In His presence. So I have to find myself in that presence, in that place that God, Lord, I need to meet with You. And I just want you to realize this and see this. And He says, a lively hope by His resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that He raised Him. That resurrection life is within me, drawing me closer, drawing me to His presence, calling me, come into my presence, stay in my presence. Don't let things distract you. Don't run from my presence. All through the Bible, we could see, remember Jonah? Jonah fled the presence of God 3 times. He fled the presence of God. Though he knew that he desired that and he wanted that, he knew because of the distraction, because sometimes it's not what we think it should be or what we should be doing or this or that, and we get distracted and we run. Not sometimes in a sense that we run back into the world, but we run away from that presence and not stay in the midst of that. And he says, to an inheritance, that He's resurrected us to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Sometimes we read through these things. I want you to see this, that we have an inheritance that's in Christ. All the promises of God. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. Love, joy, peace, those things but they fade away because of things that are around us. But it's not called to fade away. We're supposed to stay in that. He said that they're reserved for you. Tell your neighbor they're reserved for you. I want you to get this. They're placed aside for you. All that He did on the cross, everything that He did for you is reserved for you. And where is it reserved? In heaven. Now, I want you to understand something, that sometimes what we do is we get caught up that we think that that is for some other day. I want you to know that I need my inheritance. I need all that God has for me. I need the promises of God for today. That doesn't fade away. Come on, it doesn't rust. And He tells us this, that we put our hope in heaven. And heaven is the abode of God. It is the dwelling place where God abides. Where His presence is. Listen. He says, to inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved. It's kept in heaven for you. I want you to catch this. And He says, it's kept in heaven, in the abode, in the abiding place, in the dwelling place of God. Now let's look here and see what it says about dwelling place of God. Let's look at Psalms. We've been saying this scripture over and over again because I want you to see what it says. He says, I want you to get it in your spirit. He that dwells. He says, He that dwells. So I want you to know there's something there that we can understand that I need to dwell there. I need to make it my residence. Are you cold? Are you cold? I want you to get this. That I need to make my address, my dwelling place, where He is. Where He abides, I need to be. Body, soul, and spirit. That means my first love needs to be Him. My heart needs to be with God. My residence needs to be with Him. I can't exit out. I can't check out. But I need to stay in that place with that understanding and make Him my dwelling place, the place that I abide. He said, because this, he said, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. And let's jump up here and it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my what? My habitation, my dwelling place. That my abode is in Him. I want you to see and understand something, that sometimes my flesh is a different address than my spirit. There's a battle taking place. Sometimes we get our pillows or we get our blankets and we stay over here in our flesh. And God's saying that here's a shelter for you, a refuge here. We're doing it on our own. We're out here and we're exposed to the elements because we made our address and our habitation not where the abode of God is. Even in my thinking, in my mind, I want you to get that and understand something, that sometimes we habitate somewhere else. Am I making sense? So I want you to understand something, that when we make it our habitation, that's why it says to walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Make that your habitation in the Spirit. That you begin to learn to walk in the Spirit. You begin to work there. Why? Because you've made it your habitation. You made it your abide. Hallelujah. So that when things come your way, that you're not overcome. Why? Because you're standing in the presence of God. You've made it your declaration. You've made it your heart. That you stayed in that place. And He says, there shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come my way. For He gives His angels charge over thee to keep me in all of His ways. To keep me. Tell your neighbor, keep me. He desires to keep me. Let's look at John. John 14. I just want to rehearse just these couple scriptures. Sometimes I go through these things and I need to go back over them because I've read them 50 times. So I need to maybe read them 50 times to you, and then it gets in my spirit. Is that all right? I literally sat there and read this scripture. I don't know how many times, just trying to get it, just getting it in my heart and relating to see what God was saying. Sometimes I want you to know that the enemy wants us to think everything's down the road in heaven. I want you to know that He's prepared a place for me. But I want you to understand that He has something for me right now. He died on that cross, not for me just to experience life later, but now. I'm the light of the world. Listen, through Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And if I don't understand about abiding in His presence, I can't be that. I can't be that to anybody. I can't be that to my wife. I can't be that to my... You can't be that to your husband. You can't be that to your church. If I don't know what that is to abide in that presence, to stay within that place and not forsake the assembly, that place of gathering my heart in that place. Because there's things abiding for your attention. There's things calling you to come. Come. Come on. Trying to abide, to get you to come, to desert your place. I want you to see this. And he says this, and we hear this at funerals all the time. And every time I've always heard this, I thought, man, we should just preach this. Because, man, this is, you don't always hear it preached. He says that Jesus said this. He says, yea, he says, oh, wrong scripture. Hang on. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Yea, I believe in God. He says, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Sometimes our flesh sometimes get, I'm sorry if this upsets you, but I'm sorry, but sometimes our flesh dictates to us like kind of like my mansion is like, we imagine my mansion. I hope I'm closer. Remember the disciples did that and Jesus said, guys, your heart's not in the right place. He says that in my house are many mansions. And that word mansion means abodes, habitations. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that no one would perish but have a habitation, a place. Listen to this. And He says, in my Father's, He says, if it were not so, I would not have said that, would you have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place. Tell someone place. I'm going to prepare a place. I want you to picture, what is He saying? He says, I'm going to the cross. The place that we've been separated was His presence. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, you can't do this. He says, you can't do this. He says, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm dying for your sins. I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to go in your place that you can have a place in Him. Jesus went to the cross and died for me so that I can have a place in God's presence. That I can have a dwelling place. That I can enter boldly. And I can say, Abba, Father. And he says, and I go to prepare a place for you. And He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you'll be also. He says, and Thomas said to Him, He says, well, where are you going? That's us sometimes. I'm sure where you're going. And Jesus says this. He says, I am the way. If you're not sure where I'm going or how to get there, He says, I'm going to tell you this so you don't get lost again. I am the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. It's in me. The place is in me. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in Him. The Bible says that I am seated with Him in the heavenlies. Seated with Him in the heavenlies. That I have a place reserved for me. And see, this is what I've been hearing in my heart. Is God's longing for us to be in that place that He died for. Not just in heaven someday. But to abide in that place. In that presence. With fullness. With the confidence of knowing who I am. That I am seated with Him in the heavenlies. That I'm surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Come on. I make my abode. Jesus says, I am in this world, but not of this world. Why? Because I'm seated with Him in the heavenlies. My Father rules. Amen? And John 8:31. He says, if you continue. See, this is what I want us to get. That if we continue, where? To abide in my word, in that place. He says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Abiding in that place that He prepared for me. Now, I want you to get this, and I said all this because I hope... I know I'm not boring you. I know this is ministering to your spirit, I pray. Might not be shouting yet, but that's okay, right? God knows what we need for now, our brother Dan. So I want you to get this. that authority of entering into that place was lost. We lost it. Because Jesus says, I've come to seek that which is lost. What is he seeking? My place of being in his presence. I've come to seek that, what we've lost. That we lost a lot of things, but I want you to understand something. It's the presence that means more than anything else. He says that we lost that ability, that authority that we have in the earth. I want you to know that under the anointing in the presence of God, we have authority. Outside of that, there is no authority. That presence gives me authority. David defeated Goliath. Why? Because he carried the presence of God in the midst. See, everybody else wasn't abiding in their God in a sense. He was abiding in that place that was prepared for him. He was walking in the Spirit. He was walking in that, not letting those other things dictate to him. He was standing in that. That was a forerunner for us to see. Be led by example. I know he made mistakes, but I want you to understand that. That now through Jesus Christ, we can abide there. We can stay there. Flesh doesn't have to rule over us. We have authority to speak the things, to declare things, to will things, to affect things around us. But that was lost. And I want you to see, and I want you to give you this example of this. He says, well, let me finish 1 Peter. He says that are reserved for you in heaven who are kept. Say kept. You see that word all the time? Kept by the power of God. He says, of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in last days, which that word actually they kind of messed up because that is a kairos moment. It's a moment. It's not chronos. God doesn't move in chronos like a watch. But God moves in opportune times and opportune moments that God will move us. And I want you to know that I really feel that we're moving in opportune times and kairos moments where God's calling us unto himself. He's calling us to stay in that presence, to be, to abide, to wait upon God, to be strengthened in the midst, not to run out of gas, but to stand, to be strong, and to know where we are, and to know where we're from, and know where we're going, and have that purpose within me that I'm not derailed, or I don't step out of the room whenever something comes my way, because those things get bigger than, and the only way they become is when I'm not in that room, because if I'm in that room, come on, those things can't get greater than God when I'm in His presence. Those things can never be bigger than God. I don't care where you're at. Paul was in prison, in the midst of a prison, in a dark place. It was wet, it was damp, it was cold, no food. And he says that he wrote that. He wrote that. That what can separate me from the presence of God? Nothing. Even all of this stuff around me, I seek God first. So here they are, he says, and let's look at Genesis. I'm going to give you these couple things. Are you okay? I can do this in 15 minutes. Amen. Remember, God's not chronos, so we're going to say, multiply the time, God. He said this, and God said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, the air. You all know this. And everything that creeps. Tell someone creeps. He says, I want you to have dominion over creepy things. So God created man in his image and his likeness to rule over creepy things. He says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and the fowls of the air and everything that moveth, say moveth, upon the earth. I want you to see, let's look in Genesis 3:24. It says, so he drove them out. This is after. He drove them out, he says, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden angels, a flaming sword, which turned one way to the other to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, I want you to see this and understand something. They had to leave that. They lost their authority. Tell someone they lost their authority. This is what Jesus Christ went to the cross for. They lost the authority that they had in the earth. And this is what God says, have dominion over it. And he declared this to them. He said this, he says, I'm trying to lay this all out. He says, and the Lord took man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and Eden to dress it. And here it is. This is the word. And to keep it. Tell your neighbor, keep it. I want you to understand that that place was created with everything they needed in it. It was a place where that they walked with His presence. It says in the cool of the day that they would walk together and talk and just have this face-to-face communication with God. Hand-to-hand. Just think about that. The fullness of it. He tells him, he says, in this garden, he says, that are here, he says, all I'm asking you to do is keep it. Keep my word. Come on. Keep hold of it. Take hold of it. Guard it. Protect it. Like it's the number one thing in your life. This place. Don't let nothing defile it. Don't let nothing get in front of it. He says, just keep it. He says, and with that, all the authority in heaven is backing you. Everything that you need is in this place. How many know that Jesus is that tree of life in the center of that place, and everything they needed was surrounded? But in the midst of that, it says there was another tree. It was a tree of good and evil. And this is where we have the problem, because in Proverbs it says, there's a way that a man thinketh, and if he does so, he perishes. That's, I think it's Proverbs 12:14. Is that right? I'm dyslexic, so it might be 14:12. Proverbs 12:14, I think. Let's see if it's right. Dum, dum, dum. Oh, no. Is it 14:12? I hope it is. Let me see. And there's a way. All right. That seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof of his ways is death. So I want you to know that this moment, what happened? What was lost? That authority that you had. Here's what happened. I want you to get this and understand something. He said, stay in this presence, abide and keep my words. Don't get distracted. Have power over everything that creeps and moves on the earth. And here's, guess what shows up? A creepy thing. And it was the devil. He came in. He made entrance in. He began to distract Eve. And he began to talk to her. I want you to know at that moment, she had the power and authority. The enemy had no power to cast it out. Come on, amen. To redirect it. To keep it away. And to guard what she had. But she chose to have a conversation. Instead of abiding in that place, she made a decision to carry on a conversation in a different zip code. That she wasn't meant to be. Is that making sense? She began to eat from what was given to her. She was distracted from God and what He was saying to what the devil was saying. I want you to know that the Bible says that He says, He told Cain, He said, Cain, the enemy is waiting at your gate to deceive you. He's waiting that you don't abide in this habitation. But you vacate this and get distracted and carry a conversation on with the enemy. And become overwhelmed. He said, but they that abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And it says all of a sudden, he says that here they were, that Adam and Eve were in this place. And it says, and they heard God walking and they heard His voice and they heard Him walking in the presence. He was in that place and they were hiding behind the trees. And that's a whole nother thing. Sometimes people hide behind other Christians or they hide. I've been in church and I've hidden. I wanted God, but I was hiding. They didn't run from that. They were still there, but they wanted God, but they were afraid. They were afraid. I want you to know that conversation caused them, because the Bible says nothing separates me. But the enemy made them think that they weren't good enough, or reminded them of their nakedness. They weren't keeping the garden, because God says they're mighty. They're in His image and likeness. But the enemy told him they were naked and they were exposed. And he looked and he says, and God said to him, he says, where are you, Adam? Where are you? Why aren't you in the place that I created for you?
Why aren't you here? I want you to know that I feel that sometimes God says that to me because of thinking. Because sometimes things overwhelm me. Where are you, Chris? God's trying to find me and the devil has my location. The Bible says, give the enemy no place. Don't give him your address. We give him our address sometimes when we get out of this place. That I am hid in Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. I know these are a lot of things we've heard, but we need to make this our reality. Amen? We need to make this our reality. And he says, where are you? And he told him, he's hiding. He says, because they hid, he said, in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of God. And they lost their authority, so they had to leave. But I want you to know that he says, I'm making way even from that moment, that they were angels. They were there, not keeping them out, but trying to bring them back. Listen, better late than never. I'm almost done. I want you to see this. But I want you to see and understand that there's a challenge for that sacred space, for that place. This challenges us, I'm telling you, challenges us. But I want abundant life. I want to walk in, maybe it's the Lord right now, Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Yes. But I want to say this. He says, we unconsciously put limits on God's ability in us because we don't know who we are, where we are, or what we have in Christ. I really want us to get this because this really hit me today. Of who we are. Adam and Eve were created in His image and His likeness. This is what the enemy tries to do. Get you to lose who you are. Distract you from who you are as a child of God. And where you are. He tries to get you out from here to here. He tries to get you away from that place that He created for you in His presence. That you can run boldly. That you could take hold of all that He has for you. Or what we have in Jesus. 2 Kings, I'm reminded of this short story. You okay? He says, and now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. I want you to see this and understand something. She was being challenged with this, and just like every one of us, that there's a challenge sometimes with us of where we are. And I want you to see that there was a place for her, and she was challenged with this because her husband, who was a prophet, he died. That was her source, her surplus, her strength. I want you to know sometimes we look at things that come our way as tribulation or this and that. I want you to know that some of those things might be a blessing because it's trying to draw you back into the presence of God. Because we've got distracted. I want you to see this and know that this woman, her strength was in her husband, and she placed it in him that he connected with God, that he was a prophet of God. And she said to him, she goes, you know him, he was one of your prophets. You know him. And that arrested me because, yeah, but he says, I don't know you. He says, I want to know you. So I want you to know that we need to make this personal with every one of us to know that God wants His place with you. He wants to be in His presence with you, each and every one of us, in that intimate place that He can pour out to you, that you could be strengthened. See, I want you to know that she came to that place because she was the debt collector came to get what was theirs, what was lost, what she didn't have. And she was overwhelmed. She didn't know what to do. She was distracted by everything else. just like every one of us. She was distracted on who she was, where she was, and what she had. Who she was, where she was, and what she had. Because if we know those three things, we're not going to get distracted. Listen. And he says, "And thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. But Elijah said unto her," he says, "what shall I do for you?" He says, "what shall I do for you? What is it that you would have me do for you?" He's making it personal. And he says, "tell me, what hast thou in your house?" And she said, "thine handmaid hath not anything in my house but save a pot of oil." See, the enemy wants you to think that you have nothing. He wants to distract you on the creditors that are coming, the enemy that's at your gates, and lets you forget about what is in your house, about where you are, about who you are, and what you have. I want you to know that in Jesus Christ, we have an anointing. There's an anointing that we have in His presence. Listen. And He says, and He said then to her, He says, "therefore," He said, "go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty ones, and borrow not a few." He says, "and when thou art come in," He says, "I want you to do this." He says, "when you come in," He says, "I want you to shut the door." Tell your neighbor, "shut the door." He says, "and upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out on all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside which is full." So she kept the word. Say, "keep the word." This is what I want you to do. He says, "I want you to go and go into the house." Say, "house." And He says, "I want you to shut the door. There's so many distractions." He said, "but I want you to get focused." He says, "and go borrow everything you can." He says, "because I'm about ready to show you what you think that you don't have. I'm going to show you what you have when you keep the word. When you abide in my presence. Everything else will shut off." So I want you to know that sometimes we just need to turn it off. We need to shut things off. We need to get in His presence. We need to pray. How desperate are we? How hungry are we for Him? That I need to be in that place. That she was the place, that she was at that place where that she was ready to hear what was being said. She wasn't saying no more, "well, listen, well, God knows that my father, He knows where I've been from. He knows I've been in church all these years." It's about today. Today is the day of salvation. Today. It's not about the past. It's not about all those other things. It's about right now. It's about me desiring to be with you today. So she shut the door. And He's about ready to show her what was in her. Was she thought she had nothing. She didn't think. I want you to know that when we get in God's presence, I want you to see what happens. Where that something happens. Something begins to happen as we're in His presence. That strength, that we become overcome by His presence. Overwhelmed by how great He is. How awesome He is. How good He is. And what He can do. Because we shut the door of the distractions. It's not an easy thing to do all the time. And He says, and so she went in and she shut the door upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Pouring out in His presence. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, He says, "bring me yet any more." He says, "there is no more. Every one that we have brought you has been full. Has filled out from that one of what you thought wasn't enough. But in His presence became more than enough. To pay every debt." So I want you to know that when we realize what happens in God's presence, that He does what He does. But we get distracted. I'm going to let Randy play this song. As we just let God speak to our hearts. I began to think about this right here as I have this behind me. I just began to look at these sponges. So, they're hard. Daily living gets us this way. Causes us to become hardened, stiff, dry. But as I was just thinking about His presence and thinking about what happens whenever you begin to spend time with God, you begin to get in His Word and begin to keep His Word, let His Word keep you. Aaron, would you come help me? Can you hold this? Hold this sponge. Turn around. You could start playing that, Randy. So I want you to see this. This is what happens when we spend time in God's presence. Outside of it, we're dry. But in His presence, we become filled up, saturated. And it just doesn't affect me. I want you to know that my dryness, that people see it, but see, there's an overflow. And out of what I, when I met God, when I was in His presence, that Spirit begins to overflow. And that saturation of His presence begins to get on those around me. And that life of being in His presence begins to extend beyond me and begins to touch those around me. Begins to touch those that I love, those that are hurting, those that are broken. Because I begin to gain that confidence, because out of that overflow place, out of that place of presence, there's a release that flows out of my life and out of your life. And not even looking for it. It just happens. Being in His presence. Waiting upon Him. Instead of being dry. I don't want to be dry.
Just kind of sit, just lay your hands on the people.
I don't want to be rough. We're rough sometimes. We're rough with one another. But I want my life to overflow with His presence.
And I don't know what you need.
Sometimes we just get
healing from whatever it may be.
A dribble on Sunday.
Asthma.
Feels good for a moment.
Diabetes.
But
is there any cysts in the room?
It might help me for a little bit. But see, I want you to know that God wants us to stay in that place. God wants us to be overflow.
I just want us to take a moment.
God wants us to have that abundance that touches those around us, those that are hurting. That's where He wants us to be. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He died. To give me a place in Him. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. This is. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
This is, and it's flowing from hand to hand. This is the Lord. Healing in the room. Woo! Healing in the room.
This is. Don't let me be distracted, Lord. Oh, let me run, God. Run, Lord, to You, Lord.
Spirit, come and blow. Spirit, come and blow. Spirit, come and blow. Spirit, come and blow. Spirit, come and blow.
Spirit, come and
blow. Spirit, come and blow.
Spirit, come.
Fresh wind, fresh wind, fresh wind.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. thank you, God. You give me a place, God, in you, God. To be strengthened, God. To be fed, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. Burn like a fire, blow like the wind. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. Burn like a fire, blow like the wind. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. God, Lord, we ask you, God, Lord, that we ask you, God, Lord, that we be strengthened in the midst of that, God. I pray to God, Lord, that we, Lord, that you, that our hearts be opened with the understanding, God, of your desire to, for us to be in your presence, God, to be aware, God, to be awakened, God. God, Lord, not to step out of that place, but God, Lord, to stay in the midst of that, God. To stay in the place that you've created for us, that habitation, that dwelling place. Place of safety, God. Where we're strengthened, God. They that wait upon the Lord are renewed. God, Lord, I just thank you for that. I pray you strengthen our hearts this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless somebody.